We're going to talk with Carl Creighton, Tom Napier. They're going to be with me talking about Honor Flight Tallahassee here in the first hour. And Dr. Michael Hannawalt, the newly appointed artistic director for Tallahassee Community Chorus. Their season opener is coming up. You're going to love to hear about this. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids. Call Merrymaids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
My friend, I'm so glad that you have joined me again on this occasion when it's been a remarkable week in Tallahassee. And let's just tick off a few of the highlights. When Bobby Bowden celebrates his 90th birthday, there's a milestone. Had a chance to sit with the kind and accomplished coach, Bobby Bowden, about a year ago. Carl and I were there to talk with him about his career and about, a lot of things, college football and the game of life and his philosophy about how you coach young men in this highly contentious world of college football. Because if you're involved with college football, it's very difficult to not lead with your feelings about it. It's more than politics, I think college football has become this sort of battleground on a lot of topics. And of course, in the same week that we're celebrating Coach Bowden, we're also witnessing the firing of Coach Willie Taggart. Yeah, right. And that, in and of itself, full of all sorts of angst for a lot of people back and forth on both sides of, should he have been fired, should he have not? Are we being impatient or are we being stupid in not having fired him sooner? Some have made that argument. The conversations, loosely said, have covered all of the waterfront. It goes all the way from one side to the other. And of course, you have those who are calling for a bit of decency and respect, and let's think of the players and such, and some bemoaning the fact that it just doesn't happen the way it used to happen. Well, no. And even one writer said, back when Bobby Bowden started, they were willing to give him some time and build and grow. And my humble observation would be, that was 1973 or whatever, back in those mid-70s, when that game that we knew then doesn't exist anymore. No. College football isn't what it was 40 years ago or better. No, by any means. And especially not for top-ranked teams, not for universities like Florida State that have entered this arena of collegiate athletics with a kind of business viewpoint that rivals any nationally established corporate mentality. So those feelings we have about, the loyalty we feel for the team, the coach, the players. I mean, I endorse all of that, but it's naive to think that that's enough to carry us through in the world we live. I mean, no. And I want to give credit to Coach Taggart. He completely gets that. He knows that game, and he knows that this is how it gets played out. And there's no doubt in my mind that he went into that Miami game knowing that this was it. And at the end of that game, there's no reason for me to think that he didn't expect that phone call. I mean, this is how it goes. And to say that is to say, in my opening thought, wow, what a week. And then, of course, we had Royce Lovett in his final presentation. He gets knocked out this week after a pretty decent run. And if you know Royce, as I know Royce, and he's been on this show a few times, he's a marvelous person. It was curious to me that Blake said, you know, I have trouble figuring out who you are. Well, that's a very poignant comment. Well, again, money talks, and people in the business of recording and selling records, selling tickets to concerts, yeah, making money off of you is the real issue. And I, as a producer, promoter, manager, it's tough for me to make money off you if I don't know what the brand is. I don't know who my audience is that I'm selling you to. And that's a tough one. But Mr. Lovett's going to have to choose which way he wants to go, because the world's not going to let him do both. He can get established one or the other and then try to cross over like Amy Grant did. But you can't do both at the same time. It's just not going to work. So what a week, huh? And then, of course, you had our good buddy Greg Tisch coming up with the Best of Tallahassee Radio Personality. Wow. So good for you, Greg. Best radio personality in Tallahassee, Greg Tisch. All of that happened inside of a few days here in November 2019. So it happens, and we find ourselves now looking forward to the rest of this year. We look forward to the holidays as they come upon us with great anticipation. We are excited to have the people with us today who are going to point to some of the cool things that are coming up as part of that season. This Honor Flight program, the Honor Flight Tallahassee organization, which is a charity, makes it their business to raise money to fund these annual flights to Washington, D.C., in which they'll bring veterans and guardians to D.C. to visit the war memorials that are dedicated to the veterans. So it's a nifty way of saying, hey, we honor those who have defended our country and served faithfully. And that's what Honor Flight is all about. Well, we've got Carl Creighton and Tom Napier with me here in the first hour. They've got a knit fundraiser coming up. What are they calling this? It is the it's a car show. Yeah. Show and Shine. There it is. Show and Shine, benefiting Honor Flight Tallahassee. And that's on a week from today, November 16, at, oh, and I love this, the Moose Lodge, Tallahassee Moose Lodge, 1075 Capital Circle Northwest. Yeah, some classy-looking vehicles, some of course, antiques, some contemporary, but it's all good, and there'll be food, and you can go out there and enjoy it. You pay to register your vehicle in the show, and that contributes then to their fundraising efforts. So looking forward to having Carl and Tom with me here in just a moment. And then in the second hour, a man who I've known for many years, under the tutelage of Dr. Andre Thomas, And he served faithfully there, went on to do some other great things once he had completed his doctoral training. Well, he's back, and he has now taken up the baton in the shadow of Dr. Thomas, and he is the new artistic director for TC Chorus. What a great opportunity for him, and what a blessing for this town. Because I'll tell you firsthand, man, this guy is the real deal. You're going to learn about him and about his vision for the chorus as they begin their season. Speaking of, you know, the season of the year that we are now in, I want to make sure that you stay in touch with us about all that stuff coming up. We're going to take just a quick break, and I've got Nancy Dignon standing by with another My Weather View. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercy of God in spite of our disobedience and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity and join together in prayer for our nation. From Wood and Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee for window glass replacement, bath and shower enclosures, mirrors, tabletops, and storefront glass, call 222-5781 or online at woodandglass.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You know, it's that time of year when, as we approach the holidays, we do so with great respect for those in the work of providing for needy families, children. It goes on all across the community, and it goes on throughout the year, but especially at Christmas time when, in the words of Dickens, need is felt even more intensely. So it is that the folks with Christmas connection go about their business of bringing a little joy into the lives of kids, families across the region. They've been doing this for decades now. And we're going to do our part, as we have each year for the last 16 years. Help Christmas Connection is our annual contribution to the effort, just simply to remind us all that we need to give generously, give often, give whatever you can. And it's not always about a shiny new toy, although that's a great thing to do. An unwrapped toy for a boy or girl is a good thing. Clothing is also good. And it's important to remember that not all of these kids are under 7 years old. A lot of them are teenagers. So you have a lot of different options. And if you're looking for suggestions, I suggest that you go to our official website, helpchristmasconnection.com. Lots of instruction there, including the location of this year's headquarters for Christmas Connection. Lisa Harvey is their executive director again. And the ED, man, she is a workhorse. She just goes 150 miles an hour. Already pushing forward on a number of initiatives to make sure that Christmas Connection is effective and efficient. And it's in many respects, a kind of military operation, right? Because they have to put all this together on the fly. And she just does a remarkable job, as do all of the hundreds of people who contribute, the volunteers. And we have thanks to those who are our sponsors, like Tallahassee Leon Federal Credit Union. Big shout out to Kay Meyer and Lisa Brown over there with the credit union. They have come in with a big old-fashioned sort of way commitment to make sure that Tallahassee knows better how Christmas Connection works and how we can participate in it. And of course, Truck and Car Concepts, man, he's been with me from the beginning. Truck and Car Concepts was the very first sponsor to say, yeah, I want to help bring the joy of Christmas a little closer to families in need. And that was, again, 16 years ago. Every year they have been committed to this effort, along with good friends of ours, Wooden Glass. Man, you can't get better than Wooden Glass. 75 years in running. Yeah, they started back in 1945. Three generations over there. The real glass people, as they're referred to. And then you've got Eve James, a dentist over there in Quincy, Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, often referred to as the saint of Gadsden County. She hates that, but it's true. She's just a very, very good person and a great dentist. That's Southern Smiles. Who else we have in the mix? Tommy Tharp, Sellers Tile here in Tallahassee. Oh, my gosh. Over there on Capitol Circle. Yeah, if you're looking for some ideas, walk into their showroom. Just kind of hang out. And then you go home and you go, man, this place just doesn't look right. I mean, so be careful because Tommy's got so many good ideas for you. Great people over there. Tile and flooring of various kinds, even carpeting. And, oh, man, it just gets better and better. Granite for your countertops. Yeah, that's Sellers Tile. And our very good friends, Sperry and Associates. Yeah, well, what do you need to know about Sperry? There aren't too many places around town that you don't go and see a Sperry sign in the front of the vacant lot or on site with a building that's under construction, and there's Sperry doing their thing. Man, they're awesome. And when you talk about it, my brother-in-law works for them. He's been with them for years. And he'll tell you from the inside out, they're a great organization. Jay Bostwick and all the people that make Sperry what it is for this community, how much they've contributed across the region. So a great group of people who have come forward. And we won't want to leave out our good friend, Jeremy Matlow, Gain Street Pies with three locations. They're doing it again. They're back at it with us, helping us with our promotion, Help Christmas Connection. That's what we're about. Folks, I've got Nancy Dignon here in this segment of the show. She's got another My Weather View. Nancy?
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is My Weather View for this week. So we've had a really hot summer, and I think we're done with summer. What do I know? So I did some digging, and I found some information out. First of all, it was pretty hot all throughout September, and in fact, there was only one day when the temperature didn't hit 90 or higher. So as you sum it up, believe it or not, there were 130 days when the temperature in Tallahassee hit 90 degrees or higher. 130 days. So that means, you know, it's about a third or a little more than that. Maybe 35-36% of the days had that temperature. That's crazy hot. For those of you that like the heat, you win. You actually get it. The last day when we hit at least 90 or higher was October 14th. And in fact, on October 14th, the temperature was 92 degrees. Now, we got real close on Halloween. Temperature hit 89. We were real close to 90, but kind of think we're done with summer. We're typically supposed to cool down this time of year. We have finally seen a little taste of some fall-like weather. You might remember that Halloween night, if you guys were outside, about 6 o'clock, all of a sudden the temperature really cooled down. That cold front kind of came in. And by 8 o'clock, we were into the 60s. So we had finally our first taste of some fall-like weather. And I think overall, that big pattern in the atmosphere has shifted. So we're starting to see to the south some of these cold fronts move through, so we'll warm up again. You know, again, we've seen temperatures upper 70s and low 80s, but we are finally beginning to see the shift where the cold fronts move through and then we fall back literally into some more autumn-like temperatures. And for us in autumn, our temperatures should really be in the mid-70s with overnight temperatures being into the 50s. And I think we're finally starting to see a taste of that. I know most of us are appreciating that on our utility bills, with finally a little bit of a break. You can open up the windows. And I promise you, more of these fronts are coming through, and we'll talk more about that at some other point. This has been My Weather View for this week, and I'm Nancy Dignon.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Veterans Day officially is this coming Monday, November the 11th. Leon County offices are going to observe Veterans Day, as all public municipalities will do, and state and federal across the country. Leon County offices, libraries, community centers, animal control, solid waste management, all of that will be closed. And of course, the parks and all the recreation facilities will be open as we honor those who have gone before us this November the 11th, Veterans Day. And just for those of you who are paying attention and you want to take notes, remember that in its formation, November 11th was to recognize the end of World War I. And so it was then referred to as Armistice Day. Well, you know, even though it was touted to be the war that would end all wars, that didn't quite work out, did it, guys? So better that we have recognized then the contributions of our veterans in the decades that have passed since. And so it is that on this occasion, we welcome two very fine young men who have contributed well to our country's welfare. I've got Carl Creighton here. Carl, how are you this morning?
Doing fine, Brian. How are you?
Glad to have you with us. He is representing particularly the Tallahassee Moose Lodge 1075, the Loyal Order of Moose. And of course, around here, moose is a you know, it's a sacred word. So we try to honor those who honor the moose. And so you're in good shape here. You're in good company. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to get at it here. And then I've got this other young man, Tom Napier. Tom, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I need that.
50 years and counting, right?
That's right.
That's exactly right. Tom is the vice chairman of this charity, 501c3 organization, Honor Flight, Tallahassee. And Tom, you've been a member of the board of directors of Honor Flight since it started.
That's correct.
And that was back in 2011.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the organization itself, kind of the whole point of it.
Well, the organization started in 2011, and we all came together, four members came together, and we were appointed by the County Commission to search and find out more about the Honor Flight. So we sent Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp is our chairman,
yeah,
Honor Flight, and we sent him up to Ohio to learn about Honor Flight. And so he came back, and we were going to find out if there's a hub.
Huh.
So Florida has 9 hubs of Honor Flight here in Florida. There's 190 hubs United States wide. Florida's one of them.
Huh.
And so we are mandated that we take Honor Flight, take all the veterans, the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam veterans to Washington, D.C. That was our goal and our mandate to do.
Wow. And that happens every year.
Every year, yeah. Annually, we go to Washington, D.C.
Huh.
We charter a jet, it's a 168-seat jet. We put 82 veterans. We take 80 guardians with us, one doctor, 4 nurses, and 8 EMT with us.
Wow.
And 140 cases of water, plus 80 wheelchairs with us, too.
Wow.
So We are on our way, so we go every year.
And this, all of this effort, it seems to me, has at least a twofold point to it, and that is that you're not only doing this for the individuals that get to go along with you, but it is, in a larger way, a recognition of the contributions of veterans everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
All World War II invited to come,
huh.
Korean vets, and Vietnam vets.
So if I'm a vet, do I apply for this?
Yes, okay. We have applications. And okay. Go on webpage, honorflighttallahassee.org.
Okay. Well, let's get to that. Honorflighttallahassee.org is the site. So if you are a vet or one of your family members is a veteran, go to the website and you can apply to be part of next year's Honor Flight, which happens in April, I believe, right?
April 18th next year.
Uh-huh. Now, your job, among many, for Honor Flight Tallahassee is to help raise money to fund all this.
That's right.
So these veterans, they fly at no cost to them?
Veterans fly free.
Wow.
The guardians go with us, but they're charged $500. They're the ones who take care of the veterans to make sure they're safe throughout the whole trip. Isn't one guardian for one vet.
Wow.
Very safe. We're very safety conscious. We have not had an injury in 7 years.
Yeah.
And we fly every year, and we all come back, leave the same amount, and come back the same amount. Don't lose anybody.
I was going to say, no one left behind.
That's my job.
That's the motto. I think that applies here as well, doesn't it? You served in the military, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I served in the United States Navy submarines.
Ah.
And I was in the Korean War.
Were you?
Yes.
I have a good friend, a neighbor, who fought in the Korean War, continues to suffer from injuries incurred during that conflict, during that war. Good man, too. He was a Marine Corps, Semper Fi, so he... He's always wearing his Marine Corps hat just to remind me
that
I, you know, I need to respect him at all times. Mm-hmm. And he's about 20 years my senior, but buddy, he doesn't take nothing from nobody.
No,
we respect him. But the contributions in the Korean War, particularly the Vietnam War, probably a little bit more familiar to some of us. You know, my dad fought in World War II. But you're looking at, 70-plus years ago.
That's right.
The veterans that you're bringing with you to D.C., are they some of them coming from World War II?
Yes, we have four the last trip, last May.
Wow.
We have four, and two of them out of the four were 97 years old, and two, the other part, was 99 years old.
Wow.
And they all went with us, they had four of them.
This is really cool stuff, guys. Yeah. Carl, how did you get involved? How did they drag a moose onto an airplane? That's what I want to know.
The Tallahassee Moose Lodge, we've been in Tallahassee since 1947. And we raise money for our school, Moose Heart, and our retirement community for our seniors, Moose Haven. But we also have 40 local charities that we support through our bingo program that we do on Fridays and Sundays. And Honor Flight is one of our favorite organizations along with Big Ben Hospice.
Yeah.
I never served in the military. My father was a retired Army, served in World War II and the Korean War. So I grew up in that, you know, the household.
In that era. Absolutely right. Yeah, I identify with that. I didn't serve, but my dad was an Army, he was a warrant officer in the United States Army. And he was an immigrant. He came to the States when he was 8 years old as a Swedish immigrant, spoke no English, grew up in the south side of Chicago in the 30s. Not exactly a family-friendly place to be. And dropped out of high school when he was 17, joined the Illinois National Guard, inducted into the United States Army. Got out on the GI Bill, went through college in 3 years, got married, had my sister and I, never looked back. He was the kind of guy, like a lot of your colleagues, who didn't ask why, just ask how high, you know, and he was he always considered America his mom. And he didn't grow, he grew up without a mother. But he often told me, he said, yeah, the military, that was my family.
That's right.
Yeah, and America was his mom. And so when you look at that kind of devotion and you see it in the lives of these men and women that you're serving now as veterans, there's something very distinct about that, isn't there?
Yes, it is. Brian, we have, you know, if you remember when the Vietnam War was over with, all those veterans came back from overseas. They were treated terribly when they got out of the service. So they, you know, people did not respect them. They didn't ignore them at all. They just ignored them and kind of talked down to them.
Yeah.
But then, now we take them. We take the World War II, like I said, and Korean and Vietnam. We treat them just like everybody else. And they are so appreciative.
Yeah.
All veterans are.
Well, so, we certainly are here and appreciate the two of you spending some time with us this morning. We're going to continue this conversation, folks, talking about Honor Flight Tallahassee on this Veterans Day weekend. You stay with me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, we're back. We're talking with Tom Napier and Carl Creighton, who are heading up this year's fundraiser. Among many other fundraising activities, this Show and Shine car show that's coming up. Now, it's scheduled for the 16th, so that's a week from today. And it'll be at the Moose Lodge over there on Capitol Circle Northwest, Lodge number 1075. But we got important business at hand, don't we, Tom? We've got this open car show. Tell us about the car show, kind of how that all works. Right.
Well, we have a car show sponsored by Tallahassee Moose Lodge.
Right.
It was Carl's idea, Carl Creighton's idea. Let's do something for the Moose Lodge and also for Tallahassee itself. So
I got you.
So what happens is Carl said, let's put it together. So Carl said, you know, many people, let's put this together. So we did. So we got people together, got Carl and his officers, and we formed the Show and Shine car show.
Show and Shine.
And it's going to be sponsored by the Tallahassee Moose Lodge, and
yeah,
then the benefits will go to Honor Flight.
Now, it's open to all vehicles, including antiques, classics, modifieds, trucks, and motorcycles. As a car owner, I pay a registration fee, don't I? So I register my vehicle, and if I do so the day of the show, that's $15, or prior to that, it's $10. Is there a cost of admission for those who are coming out to see the show? No?
There is no cost.
Okay.
It's open to anybody that wants to come. So there'll be plenty to do.
I like the idea.
And just regular good donations. I mean, you know, we're used to digging in our pockets for stuff we believe in. It
there
doesn't bother us a bit. Probably the most unselfish people you'll ever meet.
Well, that's been my experience. It has. The fact is, Tom, you look at this activity, the funding is critical because
yes,
that jet doesn't pay for itself. When you fly these people up to D.C. every year, do you have a budget there? What does it cost to get all this to come together?
All donations for the flight each year, it costs us, this particular flight come up in April.
Yeah.
It's going to cost us over $125,000.
Wow.
This is the highest we've had each year. It's gone up from 70,000 when we started. Mm. Now we're up to 125,000 from the time we leave, the time we get back. We feed three meals a day. We have 25, like I said, we have 25 people that are medically inclined to take care of everybody.
Right.
Water, wheelchairs to help everybody around. Buses. We got police escort in Washington. We only got only two people in the organization that get police escort in Washington. That's the President of the United States and the Honor Flight.
Wow.
During downtown Washington. So we have police escort all day long.
Wow. Wow. Well, for those of you who are just joining us, we're talking about Honor Flight Tallahassee. It's a nonprofit organization that came about here some years ago within the ranks of Leon County Emergency Medical Services during the summer of 2010. And after taking its cues from the hubs, as they're called, in South Florida, that was started by EMS agencies.
That's correct, sir.
Interesting. How did that happen? How is it that the EMS folks saw this?
County Commission appointed Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp is head of the
EMS. Okay.
And he's our chairman. I serve vice chairman, but Mac, he regulates. I take my instructions from him all year round. So that's what we do.
Remarkable. And thanks to the generosity of the community, Honor Flight is funded 100% by community donations.
That's right.
You don't take any payment of any kind from the veterans who are registered for these flights. And you already said that the cost's 125 large. It's not chump change, man.
No, it haven't.
And so you spend the year trying to get all that scratched together. And in the previous years, I'm noting this, there have been over 200 people that have attended this car show, Carl. That's a cool thing. And with the help of the Tallahassee Moose Lodge, the Tallahassee Automobile Museum, Tallahassee Antique Car Club. I mean, if DeVoe is going to throw down and bring some of his four-wheeled vehicles and others, maybe the Batmobile. Maybe he'll bring that thing out.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
It's called Show and Shine. It comes up Saturday, a week from today, November 16th. The hours are from, what do I see here? Car show is from 8 to 1:30, so it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning and goes all the way to 1:30 in the afternoon. You got to have your car in place by 11, so make note of that if you're planning on doing this. And if you'll go ahead and get registered, you can do that just by going to the website, right? Isn't that right, Tom?
That's right. You call Carl, the telephone number there.
Okay, so we got to make a phone call to Carl, and that's 510-8158, right?
Right.
Day or night.
That's right.
510-8158, local area code. Just need to do the right thing, don't we, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Let's just do the right thing.
Brian, I would like to say that over the period of time we started Honor Flight, we've taken 585 veterans from North Florida here to Washington since we started.
That's awesome. You know what? That has a huge trickle-down effect, I think. Would you agree?
Yes, indeed.
It's not. It's those individuals, yes, 500 plus. Think about all their family members. Think about their friends and colleagues. Think about their coworkers, all the people that they're connected to. And you guys step up and say, you know what? Thank you. Yeah. Now, when you get to D.C., you spend how many days are you there?
Just one day.
Just one day.
We fly in that morning and come back that
night.
We go to 9 stops. My job is to make sure we go to all memorials, and we're timed from each one we get there to the time we get back. I'm a logistics guy. I got to make sure.
I've got to say, you're taking your no-dos and eating your Wheaties before you do that job.
19 hours is a long time.
I mean, that's a long time.
That's a long day.
And that's a lot of hustle.
And all veterans. It's all for the veterans. That's what it's for.
Wow. You do this because you love it, don't you?
I do.
And you love them.
I do.
Where does that come from?
My time when I was served.
Yeah.
I was proud to be served. I served this country in the Navy, and I thought I was getting off the wrong foot by going to submarines, but the best thing ever happened to me. So I was a submariner.
Right. How many years were you in?
19 years.
19
yes.
years.
Out of 19, United 16 States was Navy. In submarines.
16 in submarines. Nothing could rival what you witnessed, I would imagine,
yes.
in your time. 19 years. Wow. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank
and
you,
thank
Brian.
You for your service to our country. And Carl, thanks for taking care of all the mooses. They appreciate it, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
And thank you for your service to this organization and sincerely to all of the Moose members and this Moose Lodge.
We're honored to serve on our flight. We actually did an appreciation dinner for their volunteers. These are the people that went on the last flight, spent their time, their money, and their effort to take care of our veterans. And so you get a chance to know some of these volunteers and
the people
that are actually going. And you couldn't ask for a better group of people, people that really and truly care about our veterans. So it's an honor for us to be involved with Tallahassee Honor Flight.
And you honor us by being here today, gentlemen. Carl Creighton, Governor of Tallahassee Moose Lodge 1075, and Mr. Tom Napier, retired military, the United States Navy, a submarine aficionado, the Vice Chairman for Honor Flight Tallahassee, and our new friend.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for being here, my friend. God bless you both, folks. This is what we have for you here in the hour. I hope that you will stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us. Forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes. The men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Witten Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, online at wittenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here. On this week when we are about mid-month and heading into the Thanksgiving time, when thanks can be given for all that we've been blessed to receive, the good stuff, you know, and sometimes it's about taking note of the smallest of those blessings. You know, I mean, you're smarter than I am. You figured this out a long time ago, probably, and especially if you're, you know, reading things about life and life motivation. If you're, you know, if you're reading your Bible on a pretty regular basis, that's not a bad thing to do. There is plenty of wisdom out there that says that gratitude is really the foundation for good mental health. Isn't that interesting? And we've had folks on the show over the years that have come to us with that message that, you know, being simple in our appreciation of the things that we take for granted. I mean, how about the breath that's in your lungs? Now, I thought about this the other day, just gotten into the house there, and Annette and I were unpacking the groceries of the day and such and putting things away, looking at these apples we had purchased and thinking about the person who was responsible for making sure that those trees got planted. I mean, okay, bear with me here, but you got to think about what comes to your hand, what comes into your life. What's the origin of that? I mean, how much do we just walk into that grocery store and pick whatever we want off the shelf and off we go? What did it take for that to happen? It's a good exercise. Can I just tell you? I think I would encourage us all to do the math. Figure out how far back that goes. How many people were involved in making sure that you and I had the opportunity to have a need met. And some of those efforts are the simplest, often unnoticed contributions to our welfare. is a good exercise. Take the time to recall all that has been brought into this life that you live. The friends, the family, yeah, the food, the housing. That's why when you take that time and take stock of all that you have, all you've been given, and, yes, all that you've achieved, because those achievements themselves in business, I mean, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your family, those achievements didn't come magically, did they? You know, and they came as part of this thrust of lots of people that invested in you along the way. You know, it took your initiative, yes. It wasn't handed to you, right? But my goodness, think about the teachers, the counselors, the parents, the friends, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the kid at the grocery store who said, "Man, that's a great looking ring you have on your hand." The woman who you call every time you need help with your, I don't know, your light bill. Who makes sure that that happens? How about that person that makes sure the lights are still coming on? Yeah, okay, you get it. So here you go. When you look at the people who contribute mostly in your life, you know, it's not the big hurrah. Most of the time, it's stuff that comes in the most unnoticed ways, but that make the biggest impact. So when you walk into the office, do you greet your coworker with a friendliness? How about just saying good morning? That's a good thing. How about kissing your wife or husband before you leave the house? Or just the next time you see him? How about comforting your child or reaching out to a friend who is alone? I have a couple of neighbors who live by themselves. A very good friend and advisor who lost his wife here about 3-4 years ago. He's on his own. Reach out to those people who don't expect you to reach out to them. In that, I will tell you, God's love is expressed. And that expression itself is life. The expression of God's love in this world is life itself, sure enough. And again, go back and read your Bible. How is it that God spoke and light came into existence? Yeah. And so all of the writers of all of those books of the Bible, all of those that were inspired to retell the story, all of those who brought to us the details as they heard that being told of them in their own hearts and minds, what are they pointing to? God is love. And love is immutable, cannot be quenched. And when love is expressed, life happens. And that life is its own reward. You look around and you say, man, they got recognized for what they did, and that person got rewarded. And I mean, we can talk about awards and rewards. Well, rewards come and you've worked hard, and there is a brass ring. There's a trophy. The award is when you get recognized by others for something that you've accomplished, some achievement. And there are those awards and rewards that we find in this world. Now, let me give you the words of Mother Teresa. She says, "I can do things that you cannot. And you can do things that I cannot. Together, we can do great things. And we all can do small things with great love." So, I'm grateful for you. Many of you have listened to this show and have endured my attempts to create for you a place for conversation with some of the most interesting people in Tallahassee. All of them, every single one of them contributing in their way. Some better publicized than others. But oftentimes I find the more interesting contributions come from people who, not looking for the award or the reward externally, they have discovered this truth, that life, love expressed, is its own reward. And Mother Teresa had discovered that in her life. And so it is that as we approach Thanksgiving, yeah, I want to make sure that we're hitting those high points about what it is we can be thankful for. And we've got some of that here today. Ahead with us in the first hour, Carl Creighton, Tom Napier, doing this honor flight every year. That's a cool thing. That's a very good way of saying thank you. It's a magnanimous effort. Takes a lot of work, and they spend the year doing their fundraising to make that happen. Why? So that they can fly some people up to D.C. every year in the spring, and they get to visit these World War II memorials that say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for giving well beyond what was expected. That's what we're doing here today. You stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
When you talk about Tallahassee and you talk about some of the very good things that this town brings to the world, you have to include on that list Tallahassee Community Chorus. I've said that to you 1,000 times, no less true, and it just got a little better because the TC Chorus has now a new artistic director, Dr. Michael Hennewald, and he is our guest. Hello there.
Great to be here.
Again.
It's good to be back.
So we'll get into the why that makes sense kind of thing later. And the very lovely, astute, capable person who really makes all this kind of come together, McLean Harden. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having us, Brian.
A pleasure. Back, let's see, how long has it been? A few weeks, months? I don't know.
It's been months.
Lose track. But a good occasion because you have an upcoming performance. We need to talk about that. And you have a new colleague in hand here. For those of you who do not know this man, he served faithfully at the side of Dr. Andre Thomas while he was a doctoral student, Florida State University, College of Music, Choral Direction Department. Something.
That sounds great.
Like that.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the classes that they have in that program is arm waving. You have to know how to flap your wings in front of a group of people. Because, you know, that's part of the whole exercise in getting people to kind of come together. When you take upwards of 250, maybe 300 voices, and your job as the director is to get those voices to sound like one voice. That's a big job. It takes a lot of arm waving. Tell us how it is for you.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else, you know, that a group is this, like that is the sum of its parts. And with every different voice that, you know, people bring to the table in an ensemble like that, you know, colors change and every group has its little bit of an identity, you know.
Yeah.
And so those individuals are really, you know, putting themselves into that whole and are sharing their sound with that community of people and their individual voice makes that group unique. You know, it helps to make that group unique with when combining it with everyone else.
You've done quite a bit of work over the years as a choral conductor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your time here at Florida State University as a student and associate director with Dr. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Describe that. What was that experience like for you while you were still in school?
It was extremely formative. You know, I had sang professionally for was kind of the first part of my career and was touring around the country. And, you know, I came to graduate school, you know, first Michigan State and then Florida State, having really not conducted that much. You know, I thought of myself as more of a singer and I was kind of transitioning into that world of being a conductor. And so here I am, you know, thrown into a room with 250 people And I thought to myself, well, what the heck do I do with this? You know, and you know, Dr. Thomas, of course, is such a genius about working with, you know, large groups of people and all that kind of thing. And so it was such a formative experience in that way. You know, I went from here to Wichita, Kansas, where I was on faculty at Wichita State University for 7 years, and I was also the director of the Wichita Symphony Orchestra Chorus, which is a very similar group to this, not quite as large, but very similar. And I just the entire time thanked my lucky stars that I had had that experience with TCC because of that, I knew it pretty much exactly what I needed to do with that group. And I would have never known that not having had that experience here.
You know, you find that thread with Dr. Thomas having contributed to the success of a number of professional people in various ways, right? Not everybody came under his baton and then went off to teach or conduct somewhere. A lot of them did. A lot of them were performing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about, it's hard to believe, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't look like you've aged at all.
I mean, feel like it, if that's any consolation.
Well, I'm right there with you. Man. And your family, now you're all here. Do you find yourself as a Tallahassean, and welcome, by the way, impressed with how much things have changed? Because in that 7 years, there's a lot of transition for us.
Yeah, right? I mean, the whole Cascades Park area, you know, was not here when we were here before. The whole university town down around the stadium, that development, I don't think I'm calling it the right name, but that whole development with all that.
We don't know what to call it either, okay. So it's okay.
College Town.
It goes by many names.
Thank you.
G Street. I mean, which has a questionable sort of ring to it, don't you think? I don't know. G Street just doesn't work for me. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
But that, you know, so there has been some, you know, development and change. But, you know, it still feels and felt like, you know, we were coming back to a place we knew, we loved. We always have felt that when we were students here that Tallahassee had a great spirit about it, and we're really thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to come back.
Yeah, how old are your kids now?
I have one son. He's 5 years old, and his name is Sebastian.
Five-year-old Sebastian, wow.
And he was just at, we had a rehearsal for my FSU Chamber Choir, a dress rehearsal today at noon, and he and my wife can't come to the concert tomorrow night, but they can, they came to the dress rehearsal, so he was up on campus to hear that.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's neat.
It happens that for an organization of this size and with the kind of reputation you have, there's a lot to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about, and Jan and I have had this conversation at length, the detail that goes into producing not just the performances, but this thing is like, I don't know, it's like a ship. And so you're constantly having to stay focused, even in the off season, right? How do you spend most of your time?
So as of right now, this position is actually part-time. So it's very much a partnership with Jan, our board president, who we've heard on this show many times.
Right.
Us kind of working hand-in-hand with Dr. Hannawalt. And we have over 100 volunteers with the chorus who make it all happen. So
and you're still a student, too, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, a graduate right. student at you're Florida right. State. So,
and what is your area then?
So my area, I started off, like Dr. Hannawalt, as a singer, professional singer, performer, and fell into arts administration and nonprofit management.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I landed. I was teaching for a while, and that wasn't really the right fit. So I landed in this, and this is where I'll stay.
Folks, I'm talking with Dr. Michael Hannawalt and his astute colleague, McLean Harden, with Tallahassee Community Chorus. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
In the early autumn of 1621, a small group of surviving settlers gather to give thanks for their first successful harvest. They are joined by the local Wampanoag natives who have helped these settlers secure their survival. As a people, these pilgrims are guided by a strong faith in their Creator and regularly declare days of prayer and thanksgiving. But on this special day, not only are they grateful for the food God has provided in greater abundance, but also for these good friends, the Wampanoag natives, who themselves contribute to their feast with venison and enjoy the celebration of their newfound friendship. This Thanksgiving, may that same spirit of gratefulness for family, for friends, and a land of freedom be yours. From Dr. Eve James and her team at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, providing comprehensive family dentistry in a relaxed and comfortable setting. Online at SouthernSmilesFL.com or call 875-3908.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You've got a show coming up. When is that show date?
That's right. Our first concert of our 32nd season is on Sunday, November 17th in Ruby Diamond Concert
Hall. Okay. Don't test me on numbers. See, I'm bad on numbers, apparently. I thought you'd been with them for a year, and now it's been a 3 month. I mean, whatever. But it is the 17th. The 32nd season of world-recognized, wonderful chorus that brings such good things to us as a community and then represents us across the globe. The travels, the concerts that you have done on, I think I'm not mistaken, two or three continents that I recall, Europe. Didn't you go to Africa at one point or China?
China. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you a part of the chorus when they went to China?
I was not a part of the chorus. I went to Prague with them.
Ah.
China. Yeah.
Yeah. Prague was cool.
Yeah. Great trip.
Yeah. You got any more trips in the future?
We'll be traveling. Nothing to announce at
this
time.
Yes. Nothing. No announcements. but yeah, it's definitely in the planning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Tell us about this concert. What's going to happen on the 17th?
Well, we're doing a concert which is entirely of the music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and the anchor work of the concert is his Requiem, which is his the final work that he wrote and didn't even complete because it was still uncompleted when he passed. And so that's going to be the second half of the program, and then the first half is going to be a smattering of some more of his kind of minor works that are just still really lovely pieces and don't often get performed maybe with as much regularity as the Requiem does, but things like his Veni Sancti Spiritus, his Regina Caeli, his Te Deum, and his famous Ave Verum Corpus, which is such a beautiful little gem of a piece.
Yeah.
So that'll be the first half, and then we'll take a little bit of a break and then do the Requiem in the second half.
It's remarkable, too, how much he contributed to the direction of music in Western civilization. Even modern music bears a number of indications that he, as an innovator, right?
Yep.
He created things that just hadn't been done before. McLean, you have with you then not only Dr. Hannawalt, you have a number of other folks who are involved with. You mentioned the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
You have other students who are associate?
Yes, conductors, yeah, we have two wonderful assistant conductors this season, Brett Epperson and Morgan Luddig. They're both first-year PhD students in the same program that Dr. Hannah Walt, you know, grew up through, and they're both conducting pieces on the concert as
so
well.
So they will be part of
this.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to have them.
All right, so folks, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, this happens on the 17th, right? That's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Customary time.
Yep.
And all. A great opportunity for you to immerse yourself in what arguably could be said is the foundational parts of Western music to date. I mean, of course, I'm overstating that to some degree, but if you take those traditions that came out of that European contribution, and then you've got to bring together sort of the African-American influence, somewhere in the middle you get blues. I don't know, but there's an argument to be made that so much of what we know, even among American folk music, brings together some of those elements.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me, but I you know what? I think of it like you would a good whiskey or wine or those things that just require a lot of time and skill and study, whereby you come out with this distillation.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that in terms of Mozart's Requiem, right? So when you're conducting that performance, where does your head stay? Are you, I mean, just describe what that's like for us, because I wonder what that's like. You know,
I think
how do you do it?
First of all, you're trying to make sure everyone stays together and all that kind of stuff.
Am I on the right page? That's a good start.
But,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Beyond that, you know, I think anyone who's on stage, you know, involved in that music making process is trying to, or they should be trying to, in my estimation, just embody whatever whatever the story is of that piece or the emotion of the moment, and be fully present in that. You know, there's so many moments like that in the Requiem. You know, this lacrimosa movement, which has these sobbing motives throughout the whole thing, and you can You can feel the music
anguish,
crying, you know, literally. And you've got the Confutatis movement, which is has these running passages in the lower strings that literally sound like flames. You know, it sounds like hell burning. And and the opening of the piece sounds like a funeral procession. You know, it's this somber march, and you can almost picture Mozart's casket just kind of moving along through a sea of people or something like that. So. I think that making music connect with real human emotions, making it relevant to people, because we've all experienced, maybe we haven't experienced the fires of hell yet, but hopefully we don't.
Some of us are getting closer, I think.
But, you know, we've all experienced so many of these emotions, you know, grief and sadness and everything that are present in a work with a text, you know, of that nature. And that's our job as artists to try to enter into that world and to try to help people to access those emotions in the best way we can.
Well, and for me, the performing arts, let's say comparatively the visual arts, right? You are in that position as the director, and you said, we just hope that everybody is together and we're all moving in the right direction.
Yep.
But then my question is that tension between technical accuracy and the expression, right?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And how do you kind of traverse that line?
How do you traverse that?
Yeah.
And do you find yourself at times, especially with a piece of this magnitude, you're sort of caught up in the moment.
Of course.
And then you're gasping for breath, fighting to get back to the text, you know, and find, we were supposed to rest there. Okay, you got it. I didn't. Let's just keep going. You know, it's like that.
Yeah. No, it's very true. And I think conductors especially, and all performers to some extent, you know, you are walking in that line. How much in performance can you let yourself go and body that moment and be fully present emotionally, while also hanging on to the technical aspects of the performance that need to be held on to. And that is the eternal tension of all performers.
Question, I guess. When does a chorus of people, when does a group of singers need a conductor? When do they not?
You know, if I didn't say I think conductors were important, I would be kind of shooting myself in the foot and minimizing.
Well, let's just get that out of the way. You know, we'll assume that they are important.
Let's put it that way.
think you're important.
You know,
but
technically,
why?
Why
are you important?
Conductors in a performance, you know, technically the thing that they're the most important for is starting a piece, handling any transition moments that happen to take place, and other than that, they're trying to get people to do what I just said, which is to be present and to enter into that, you know, emotional kind of headspace to do that.
Right.
But really where the conductor's work comes in and the vast majority, I kind of liken it to the Titanic, which, you know, hit this iceberg of which there was a small bit sticking above the water.
Right.
But there was this huge mass of it below, which is why the ship sank. And, you know, the public sees the tip of the iceberg when they see the performance, you know. But before that, there has been hours and hours and hours of score study, listening to various recordings of the piece, singing the parts through, marking the score, and then that's before the rehearsal process even starts, you know, where you've got 11 weeks or whatever of 2-hour rehearsals, slowly structuring them in a way that pedagogically will guide the chorus to its final, you know, destination, hopefully. And so, you know, what the audience sees is, you know, it's just like the frosting on top of a cake.
Well,
you know?
And so in that respect, we said performing arts, you think of athletics, think of any kind of a team, right?
Exactly.
You got to have somebody who's put in the hours.
Yep.
There's a lot of sausage making, we'd say. Yeah.
Exactly.
So when you're up there waving your arms and you do it quite well, I have to say. I'm impressed. It's more than that. To the onlooker, and I'm speaking to the people who are just uninitiated. They don't get it.
Right.
But those are the folks I want to have come to this concert.
Right.
Because of all people on the planet, they need this more than anybody else. You need to come and be a part of this performance. November 17th, Tallahassee Community Chorus performing Mozart's Requiem and a whole lot of other good stuff. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you think about what people will bring away from, you know, and I'm advocating on your behalf here, because I know how much music has contributed, and I mean choral music particularly, has contributed to my well-being. When we go to these performances, TC Chorus, we leave there in a sort of, I don't know, transformed, sort of even transcendental state. I mean, because you cannot participate as an audience member, and there is a participation, without being brought into that world. And as you said earlier, you listen to this music, let yourself go with the music. You guys are doing all the work. You've done the work, and now you're performing, and we get to take this amazing galactic ride with you, and you're taking us back to a few hundred years ago in history when this young man, and he was a young man,
still was,
composed his own Requiem. Imagined his own forthcoming death. Mm-hmm. You talk about being in touch with mortality. This guy brought us in touch with so many parts of life, whether it was joy or sadness, tragedy, triumph. When you go to this show on the 17th, friend, you need to go with that in mind. It's going to take you to places you didn't think you were going to go. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? Or do you have any idea at this point?
When I was in high school, no, I don't have any idea at this point. When I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be an architect. And that was before I realized I couldn't draw. And that was kind of important.
Little thing.
Yeah. But I think I was always drawn to music in some aspect, you know, and was in particular drawn to singing and vocal music. You know, I had a really wonderful choral experience in my public school situation, you know, with a really wonderful high school choir director and his wife who taught me piano for, you know, a number of years. And, you know, kids gravitate to whatever is good, you know, around them. And whoever is, you know, that kind of magical person that they can relate to and that they connect with. And you know, that was them for me. And I was lucky enough to be able to have more experiences like that, you know, throughout my education. And so I think there's no turning back now.
You're in. There is a kind of college, too, among you as professionals, right? Who, I think of Jeffrey Benson, who was one of your colleagues then in graduate school.
Yep.
He's doing very well. He's out in California.
San Jose State.
Yeah. I could go down that list, but do you all stay in touch with each other?
Of course we do. I just exchanged text messages with one of the other guys that I was in school with, Troy Robertson, who's now at Tarleton State University in Texas. This past summer, my symphony course in Wichita joined forces with another colleague who was in school with me at the time, Tucker Biddlecombe.
Yeah, Tucker.
He's in Nashville at Vanderbilt, and we took our symphony courses to Prague together.
Sweet.
So, you know, it's a real fraternity, and I don't mean that in the masculine, you know, way necessarily, but this Florida State program has had so many wonderful people come through that, and it's a real joy to be a part of that legacy.
Right. In fact, when you think of those people who live in that world, do you ever get worried that, I don't know, as a culture, we're sort of losing touch with this level of performance or this kind of music? Is there that concern?
There always is this concern that, you know, classical music is dying, you know, there's that kind of thing. But I think if any part of classical music has the best chance of, you know, continued longevity, it's choral music. You know, that's something that people can do, you know, that don't have a ton of training. And choral music is by far the most popular art form in the U.S. You know, if you think of all the church choirs, all the high school choirs, all university choirs, there are more people singing than doing anything else related to the arts.
Well, that's good to hear.
And it's not just a gig. It's not just a job for those people. It's a community. You know, these people show up Monday nights, 7:30 to 9:30 at Tallahassee Community Course, just because they love it and it feeds them. You know, and they get some emotional fuel out of that for their week. And it's a real privilege as a conductor to be a part of.
Isn't that cool?
That kind of thing.
I find that to be the case. That you'll have McLean. You know this. People from around the region, down, you know, in East Point, and they're coming from Bainbridge and Guest and Jefferson, Thomasville. Mm-hmm. They all come to do this, and it's to your point. There's no audition for this, right? You want to sing? You come sing with us. Now there is a window of opportunity where you have to declare, but the point is, if you want to do this, man, we want you.
Yep.
That's a really nifty way of approaching the whole topic, because you know you're getting the people who are doing it for the love of it, right?
And that's a really unique and a really special environment.
Well, we have taken a good deal of your time.
Well, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you.
Mm-hmm. A pleasure. And after all these many years, 7 years.
Yeah.
I know you. You missed me.
Oh, Brian, right? Of course. I've been thinking about you that whole time.
Right. I didn't get any texting. Apparently, I'm not a part of that collegiate group. But, you know, there's time.
Yeah.
Now that we've reconnected, there'll be plenty of opportunity for me to annoy you. Okay, so, folks, this is it. It's coming up November the 17th.
That's right.
Ruby Diamond 4 p.m. Concert Hall. Mm-hmm. 4 o'clock. Get your tickets now. You can go to tcchorus.org.
O-R-G.
O-R-G.
Yes.
And there's an opportunity there where you can actually purchase your tickets online. I would encourage you to do so because you know what? This, I'm going to say, will likely sell out pretty quickly. You certainly want to be able to get a bunch of tickets. I would get 10. Get 10 tickets. Why? Because you're going to take you and your family members, and then you're going to invite all of your friends because they're going to love you for this. And, you know, it's coming up. We're into the holidays. Do you want to be on somebody's Christmas list? This is a great way to get there. So you give out tickets to your friends at, you know, in the neighborhood or at work. It's a great idea. As a matter of fact, there are ways for you to buy season tickets. So I would do that. I would just like buy out the whole year. And that way, you know, Dr. Hannemold won't have to be sitting back going, man, am I going to get paid this week? What's going to happen? I got the mortgage. I mean, no, we're not dealing with any of that because this is Tallahassee Community Chorus, the best that money can buy. Tallahassee's very favorite and very talented group of people who represent us across the globe, and you're going to make it all happen. Dr. Hannemold, thank you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
And enduring all of this. And, of course, the lovely McLean. You are the bomb. McLean Hardin, the executive director. We're talking TC Chorus coming up the 17th of November. Folks, this is what we do. We bring you all that Tallahassee is talking about each week with this humble little broadcast. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world. You can hear all of Tallahassee's local musicians playing their original songs all the time. MooseMagnificat.com is where you go. I'll be looking for you again next week. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.